Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
The first circle, and what I would say that every couple needs to start with, is connection.
One of the gentlemen she was talking to every week said that her call is the only person that she talks to other than kind of medical professionals.
We have guys in Stockton, part of our team. We have a ministry team that goes around, just talks to people, knocks on doors, says hello. And the biggest thing they get response for is, can we pray for you?
Elevating the kingdom of God throughout Newcastle and the Hunter. This is Kingdom Works with Rick Prosser.
Hey, Rick Prosser here from Kingdom Works. Hey, it's really good to be with you again. Go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au. That's where you can find us. We've got an e-news that goes out. We'd love to inform you of what's coming up around the region, Hunter region, the mighty Hunter region. And as well, connect you with some of the people that we've had on the program as well. I tell you what, you're going to love my special guest today, Dave Balestri. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Rick. Great to be here. I think this is my second time on this program.
Is that right?
Number of years ago now, but I'm glad you came. You came back.
Well, it's good. I'm glad you came back. And I'm on the Central Coast now, and I'm not really sure how to introduce you, actually. And some people may be familiar with you and your name and some of the things that you do. You're a bit of a writer. God in the Marketplace and. You got a few books out, Kingdom Wealth and stuff like that. I mean, that might get some people, could get some people in trouble, that one, Kingdom Wealth.
It's
probably redefining what that all is.
It's
unlocking the supernatural principles of biblical prosperity.
I think that, I think that we've got to become very confident about money and wealth, but we've got to do it in a biblical manner. And I think that's where that's the key.
So you're big deal into entrepreneurial, kingdom entrepreneurs, marketplace ministry.
Yeah.
But you're also connected in church life at Hope UC.
Yes.
How does that all work? I mean, that's a unique little mix.
I usually say to people, I'm not a pastor with a side hustle, and I'm not a businessman trying to be a pastor. I am a pastor. And I am a businessman, and so we would say traditionally I'm bivocational. But I would say that I'm equally in the marketplace as I am in the church place, and I love that. I love the duality of that. For me, it's not a conflict. I'm the business manager and one of the elders here at Hope Unlimited Church with Pastors Mark and Darlene, and then I run a global consultancy entrepreneur company helping Christian entrepreneurs and open market entrepreneurs and CEOs just do great business, really find their place in their marketplace callings. And I've been doing that for 15 years.
I think we'll touch base on that just shortly, actually, because the difference between, you know, what would be kingdom business and the values and then the mentorship and coaching of entrepreneurs, CEOs that aren't necessarily kingdom orientated and probably have no affiliation with the Lord.
Yeah.
But the parallel in language of it. I mean, you're involved in a whole bunch of other things too, apostolic, prophetic stuff around Australia.
And I love that. I sit on the I'm the national convener for a group called the Australian Coalition of Apostolic Leaders, which is really both marketplace and church leaders who are, you know, apostolic visionary, very orientated about, you know, the kingdom in our cities and what that might look like. Of course, it includes church growth and church planting, but it's much bigger than that. Yeah. It's really about how we consider the city. You know, what is God doing in the city, and the thought of, can we see the congregations in the city as one church? You know, I always say everybody, one of my pet things there is, I always say everybody's part of a mega church. Because it doesn't matter whether your congregation is 60 people or 6,000, we're all one church. So, you know, city, you know, in the Hunter region, there's probably, everyone is part of a church that's probably 50,000 people. It's just that we can't fit us all in one building. So we've got to use the smaller ones.
And you know, that's what I say to some pastor friends. Yeah. I said, you can confidently get up and tell your people how many people you're feeding, you're housing, you're working within prison, all this coaching and stuff like that. Yeah. And they look at me a bit blank. Yeah. What are you talking about? The church is doing it.
The church, that's right.
Yeah, the church is doing it.
Yeah, we're all part of the same
one. We're part of a mighty force here.
That's right. Yes.
Beautiful. So, because we talk about the church, but, you know, then, you know, you've spoken a little bit into, over time, the ecclesia.
Yeah.
Just lean into that a little bit, about the definition of that, because sometimes our language can create paradigms and understandings that might think, oh, well, it's the Sunday's the big thing, the building, the gathering, and but...
Yeah, I think that every... when you say church, when you know, when that... Well, is it The Princess Bride? I'm thinking about that movie.
Right.
And so in one of the scenes, the character is using a particular word and he's using it incorrectly. And the guy keeps on stopping him and saying to him, I don't think you know what that word means. Like what you're using it a certain way, but I don't think you know what it means. And anytime we say church and the image in our brain goes to, oh, the building I go to.
Right.
Or it goes, oh, the congregation that I'm a part of.
Yep.
We're not incorrect, but we're incomplete. That word is much bigger.
It's
Ecclesia
good.
Is about the wherever a believer is, that is where the ecclesia is. So when we say, when people say things like, oh, the church needs to be in the community, well, the church, which is not a building, is the people, the sons and daughters of God. They are actually in the community all the time. So the thought is, we don't need the church in the community. What we need is in all the different expressions of community, work, home, sports clubs, all the rest, what we need is for the sons and daughters of God to know how to be Christ, or how to share the love of God in a very practical way in those things. I always say this. I say most of our cities are filled with thousands of empty pulpits, right? So think about this paradigm, thousands of empty pulpits. But most of those pulpits are not empty inside church buildings. They're empty inside our school classrooms, and or they're empty inside our workplace, or they're empty inside our sports
club.
The only difference is those pulpits cannot be engaged in the same way as we might engage our pulpits on a Sunday. It's very different.
Brilliant. I love that, the incompleteness. And in some sense, the we've been robbed in our responsibility, perhaps.
Right.
We may have been negligent in that.
Yeah.
But the privilege...
What an honor.
Yeah. Have been included in the purposes of God.
Yeah.
So I love that word incomplete in our understanding.
It's just incomplete. Do you know, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? The Gospels of the 37 miracles, recorded miracles, 34 were in the marketplace. Of the 40, what we would call maybe expressions or testimonies of the moving of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, is about 40. 90% of them were in the marketplace.
So when you say marketplace, it's just beyond the walls of the church.
Community. Yeah, yeah. It can be in a home.
Yep.
It can be in a sports club. It can be in a workplace. It can be
in a school,
in a business house. Yeah, wherever. Outside of a church building,
we probably don't take notice of that enough. That's a rich statistic, actually, and tells a different narrative.
Right. The Bible, Genesis to Revelation, if you think about all the heroes, you know, you can just Noah, Abram, Joseph, 90% of our Bible heroes are marketplace people. Not priests, not kings, and not prophets.
Hey, if you just joined us, Rick Prosser here, Kingdom Works. You're listening to my special guest today, Dave Balestri. Is based on the Central Coast, part of Hope UC, and juggles a world of church and marketplace and coaching business leaders around the world, also in prophetic, apostolic networks as well. Mm. Dave, just to speak into a little bit around being called to where you are, just extension of that, and then we're going to touch on the business side of things. Just to encourage listeners. I mean, it's like, you know, people that are educators, for example.
Right.
It's like, come on, this is, you know, we're not just doing a job anymore. This is not just a career path.
No.
This is like, how good is this? This is part of what I'm part of what I'm trained to do.
Yes.
I'm called to.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that. I think this thought about in the kingdom, there is no unemployment.
Yeah.
Everybody is a living stone. That's what Peter said, right? Everybody is a living stone. And I love that it says living stone because you're not a static stone. Some people, you know, I remember in the early days when I was a bit younger, many of my friends would go, oh, I can't wait until I can come into ministry. Right, this was their thought, right? So it's like, oh, I'm working a job, I'm raising my kids, but you know, I just can't wait until I can. And what they were basically saying, until they get employed by a church or come into some sort of thing.
So I'm called in a minute, or I'm employed in ministry, or I'm on the mission field,
And so they would say, you know, so they would be almost discouraged about and not even paying attention to what was in front of them.
Because the big break hasn't happened.
As it hasn't happened. They've said to themselves, I'm not in ministry. And the reality is this, if I'm a parent raising young kids, what a beautiful season of ministry I'm in. What an amazing season. And my role is to, by the grace of God, do that really well. And give myself really well. Maybe your season is you go, well, I'm working as a junior in a company, a junior position in a company, and it's do you know you're in ministry? Do you know that by when you walk into that workplace, the God arrives, like the kingdom is here, and then what does that look like? And you go, well, I don't have much influence. And do you know, one of the statistics says today with social media and all the different things, the person who would be in just a basic level expression of their lives, we're not talking about the rich and famous, we're not talking about the elites, affects conservatively in their life 10,000 people. So that's the floor. That's the beginning point. And it just goes. So at a minimum, in just loving God and being Jesus in wherever you are, at a minimum, you're going to touch 10,000 people.
It's a total game-changing thought that could you imagine what the church could become if we had a revelation of I'm in his will.
Wow.
Where I am and with what I'm doing. Right. And I am a mouthpiece. I am a role model.
Yes.
Because, I mean, the statistics coming out now, people are more open than ever.
They so are, Rick. You're absolutely
more right. Open than ever to spiritual conversations. Yes. More open than ever to have somebody pray for them.
Yeah. Ugly religion? No, they're not open to that. You know, some sort of a dogmatic argument.
Ugly religion.
Yeah, no one's open to that. I mean, because I just think Jesus is beautiful. You know, and we see that there's a dissonance in my brain sometimes because when I see the accounts of Jesus in the marketplace and I see how people respond to him, and I see how people respond sometimes to our, you know, our attempt at Christian witness in the marketplace, I just think, look, there's a dissonance here. There's a difference. There's a difference. The people that responded to Jesus in an ugly way weren't usually the people in the marketplace, unfortunately.
No.
Go figure.
I mean, if you're listening to this, I hope you're being awakened to the very thought that you count big time.
You do, yeah.
And it's got zero to do with your education. It's got zero to do with your background.
Yeah.
And it's got everything to do with you coming to Christ and walking with him.
Right.
And being available to be used by him.
Yeah.
Is just a total game changer. Could you imagine what the church could become in a geography if we were all to be awakened to?
I just an interesting. We had Shane Willard here at Hope You See at our Newcastle campus last week, and he said something that really knocked my socks off. He said, "You know, we're in the Bible where it says, be holy for I'm holy.'
Right.
Well, he said when you go into the root of holiness, what holiness actually can be defined as is holiness is the carrying of the divine breath. Carriers, to be holy means we are carriers of the divine breath. And I just had this moment when he said it and I thought, oh, imagine the school student in their classroom, they walk in and you go, well, what's my job? I'm holy before the Lord, which means I'm carrying his divine breath. And so that just means in that conversation I'm about to have, it's not just a conversation, it's an opportunity for the divine breath of God to touch someone and awaken them to divine breath, Jesus.
Mate, well, I'm going to have to catch up again next week. Yep. We'll do part two of this conversation. Mm-hmm. But just final words of encouragement to the mum, the dad, the soccer coach, the educator, the business person.
Yeah.
Final words of encouragement.
I would just encourage you, bless, just be committed. Bless what's in front of you. Bless who's in front of you. Now that doesn't mean that God isn't going to bring other people or take you to a whole nother space. Just bless who and what is in front of you well today. Do that really well. And God, let God then open the doors of tomorrow and the future.
Beautiful, mate. Well, let's catch up again. Hey, it's been great being with you. Go to our website, kingdomworks.org.au. That's where you can find us. Looking forward to being with you again soon. Bye for now.
Bye.
This has been Kingdom Works on Rema FM.